Many of us are continually seeking ways to improve our performance and impact. And as you know, that is what we are all about here at the Empowerment Zone, impact.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Today, I'm talking with my good friend, Alfred Ramirez, about ways we can develop techniques and procedures that will help us to become more effective in our personal and professional lives. Our topic today is pause, assess, organize, and create systems to achieve maximum impact and sustainability. Alfred is president of Diverse Strategies Now, and he's a keynote speaker, trainer, and facilitator who helps others to reach their fullest potential.
So Alfred, I am looking forward to this topic of pause, assess, organize, and create systems for maximum impact and sustainability. And all of us need that, that advice, whether we're working for ourselves as entrepreneurs or business owners, or whether we're working for someone else and we just want to make impact within our organizations. And of course, it's not all about work either. It's also about your own personal goals. But before we get into your topic, could you please tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your background? I know this is your second time on the Empowerment Zone, and I'm so happy to have you. And you were one of my first interviewees, so and you were on the Empowerment Zone Live. So you're a great friend, and I'm glad to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm living that empowerment, and you're empowering others. So thank you for all that you're doing. I'll share with you what people normally say on paper in a little blurb, and then who I am beneath that paper or beyond it. I'm a keynote speaker, a trainer, and a facilitator for nonprofits, corporate organizations, government, communities, universities, and K-12 schools nationwide. And my scope of work and expertise is in what I call Jedi B work. Justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging. Also leadership and business and community development and program development. I also am a mentor and a coach, helping my clients and my colleagues reach their full potential and their professional development. I do want to share my mission. So this is not so much to talk about me, but also to encourage everyone and ask that question: do you have a personal mission statement, vision statement, a philosophy? So my mission is that I develop and strengthen leaders, organizations, and communities. And I devote my life's work to creating access and opportunities and achieving equity and eliminating barriers. That's my mission. And my vision, if when all that plays out, is a safe, just, and equitable world without barriers, where you can be your true self and achieve your dreams. My philosophy is listen, learn, lead. Mm-hmm. In that order or not at all. In other words, if you're any kind of a leader, you first must listen, learn from what you've heard, and then lead with that or choose to follow depending on what the time and the moment and the talent in the room calls for. Mm-hmm. And I remind people, we've been hearing this a lot, to work and live with curiosity. Mm-hmm. Listen as if for the first time and be curious. That counteracts biases when you're curious rather than predetermined mm-hmm. in what you see, assess, or judge. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that was kind of bio plus.
Love it.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you talk about yourself professionally, you know, and all the great work that you do in terms of making impact, on a personal level, how did you get into that work of inspiring others, serving as a facilitator and coach, and being a mentor and entrepreneur? What was your pathway?
I think there are a lot of reluctant leaders out there, where you really didn't call yourself a leader at a point. You just did the work. Mm-hmm. And so growing up in East L.A., East L.A., California, I experienced in my particular neighborhood and in my particular family and my friend with my environment around me, I grew up poor. And so I experienced and witnessed in others and within our family and others, poverty, discouragement, and all the isms and phobias you can imagine that are out in the world. I just didn't have any vocabulary to describe them. So I did, but I knew that there was a better way for folks in my neighborhood and beyond, and I wanted to be part of the solution. So, at one point I wanted to be a civil rights lawyer or a social worker or an English teacher. What could I do to help others? When I went off to college, like they do say in the statistics, you change your major once, twice, three times, sometimes. Right. So I ended up being a poli-sci double major in political science and urban studies at Columbia University. I'd never been on an airplane, but 3,000 miles away from East L.A. to New York to learn and learn from others and to experience other cultures and bring it back. So the different jobs that I took along the way gave me different skill sets and experiences, mm-hmm. trials and error. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about, let's move on to your topic now, because I'm really interested and curious to your mm-hmm. point of your particular philosophy on your topic. Your topic is pause, assess, organize, and create systems for maximum impact and sustainability. I love it. So mm-hmm. Tell us, have our audience who can't interact with you. You're our coach today. So coach us through this.
Yeah. Where's my whistle? All right. Get out there in the field and play your hearts out. So let's listen to the words, pause, assess, organize, and create systems for maximum impact and sustainability. So what we need to do, I suggest this, we're seeing all the literature and all the news and talk about the great resignation and getting back to the new normal. I want to say, put an X through that, like they do in Ghostbusters, another little decal. Mm-hmm. Just X it out. Let's move that out of our vocabulary. There is no new normal. Whatever was normal, and if people have an idea of normal and they want to go back to normal, it was not a very good normal for some of us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is no new normal. It's the now. It's the now. The urgency of now. Mm-hmm. And there's no going back. And it's fluid. So how can you go back to a new normal when that's going to be, that's outdated, as I just said the words. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's the now, the urgency of now. The other thing is, people talk about the great resignation. I just read an article the other day where it really talks about the great reassessment. Okay, give people more credit. They're not just leaving. They're assessing their different options. Mm-hmm. And they're also saying, how has this system or this environment been treating me?
Yes.
And where do I fit in it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's really what's going on. And so with that as a backdrop, let me just share my organism, my company was called Diverse Strategies. Mm-hmm. About 3 years ago, I added the now to it, Diverse Strategies Now, because of the sense of urgency. I have a philosophy that be patient with the process, but act with a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. So even back then, mm-hmm. before we had a huge incidents with George Floyd's murder on live TV and the pandemic, I already was sensing a sense of urgency from years ago and before that bubbling up. So there's that urgency piece. And so I'll stop for a moment. Is there anything I said that bubbles up for you, Ramona? Any?
Yes. And I'm sure it does for our audience. Two things really stand out to me is talking about people reassessing and reassessing their lives, reassessing their priorities, reassessing their professions. And a lot of people, these commentators are saying, oh, these people are lazy, these people don't want to work, all these kind of ideas, but it's actually about reassessing. People don't want to work in certain conditions anymore. They don't want to work for certain salaries anymore. And even beyond that, some people are reassessing who they want to be now. Like you said, now is the time. It's not about who I was then, but everybody's evolving. And so I really like your point about reassessment. And the other was the whole process of being patient with the process, but having the urgency of having a sense of urgency in your efforts. A lot of times, you know, we as individuals, individually and collectively, we want to make change, right? And we want to make change now, which that is the process of having a sense of urgency. But we also have to understand, just like a flower blooms, that change is a process, you know? And, you know, when you look at the butterfly, when you look at the flowers, when you look at trees, you know, they're moving toward who they are becoming, but at the same time, it's a patient process. So those two things really stand out to me.
Wow. Well, thanks for bringing that back in. And you know what? You just led me perfectly. And I'm not exaggerating or playing here. Mm-hmm. My next comment was about ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So you beautifully, metaphorically, put it right up front, teed it up. So I want to talk, remind us that we're all part of ecosystem on this earth, in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our families. We're all interrelated and interdependent. So, there's that old question, if a tree fell in the forest, would anyone hear it, or something to that effect? But if we're all part of an ecosystem, we need to think about, as Indigenous folks talk about, seven generations out, what we do today and its impact on that ecosystem. Not just the environment. The environment's part of that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. All the other systems and the institutions and the relationships, everything on this earth, and everything within our reach, and everything within our knowledge, that ecosystem, what we do has a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. Either immediate or shortly thereafter, or somewhere into the future. Mm-hmm. So if we act and behave that way, I think we would be a little more cautious and more considerate about what we say and what we do and what we lead. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, with an ecosystem, and this is where I talk about pause, assess, organize, and create systems for maximum impact and sustainability. We need to think about what we do and its sustainability. So if we're passionate about the work that we do, we enjoy the work that we do, we're conscientious about the work that we do, what's the sustainability piece? So I'm going to ask everyone right now, get a paper and pen if you want, make some bullet notes and some quick notes. But so pause. Assess what it is you've been doing to date. And you spoke to that when you recounted back to me what you picked up, Ramona. You know, assess where you are today. And then organize. I'm not the most organized sometimes. So I have to look at creating systems. What can I do? You know, what systems can I put into place that keep me on track, keep me focused, help me do that work? And if I'm going to have maximum impact, that can kind of do the work for itself, I shy away from that, I should do more work in social media. You know, how it's not about what I ate for dessert today, or what place I visited. It's more than that. It's really about how do I get that word out to folks beyond my reach that I don't even know. How do I mobilize folks or inspire folks or influence? You know, my idea of an influencer is not, you know, superficial. It's really how do I influence minds and hearts and hands so that people will do that work. So I'll take a moment there for a second. Catch my breath.
I'm one of those too. You were speaking directly to me about social media. Like, you know, in the beginning, I had an interpretation like people are, oh, hi, this is what I'm doing. This is how great I am. And, you know, I didn't really want to be a part of that, you know, but I'm on social media here and there. And you really brought another philosophy to it. Is it's not about just promoting who you are. It's really about inspiring and influencing others and connecting with people you would never have the opportunity to connect with on just a daily basis. You know, through social media, you can connect with somebody in China today. You can't get to China today. You know what I mean? I'm just using that as an example. You know, how much effort it would take you to go to China and meet that person. You can connect with them today. So I really like that idea of professionally assessing and organizing yourself to create the systems you want to make the maximum impact and connection, you know. But one thing I want to ask you, for those who want to apply this philosophy in their personal lives, can you give us an example of, you know, you talked about professionally what a person could do in terms of you use the example of social media. Is there something that some goal that people are working on personally? Maybe it's health goals. How would they become organized? Can you just give us an example?
Sure. So, you know, even before I respond to that, when you talk about health, I think it's really important. Remember, I talked about an ecosystem and sustainability. We need to think about our own individual ourselves as an ecosystem, you know, what we put in our mouths, what we eat, you know, the rest that we get or don't get, the relationships, the self-care. So I would say, I'm going to pause for a moment before speaking about social media to say that self-care is huge, that we really do need to look at the occasional sprint, but it's all part of a marathon. There'll be times where we have to really speed it up and act now. Not react, but act or counteract even. So there's that piece, a sprint and the marathon. Life is a marathon, and we will trip along the way. Self-care is huge. Also, many of us are suffering from racial fatigue, racial trauma, and don't even know it. And sometimes we're going into self-blame, where you know, why is it I'm not further along? Well, maybe the systems and the institutions have something to do with that. You know, maybe there was some bias involved in you're even applying for a job and not ever getting an interview because of your name on the resume. So we do need to pause, look at our self-care, and understand any fatigue or trauma and its root causes and not go into self-blame. And, you know, sometimes folks, I'll be one of those to admit it, are not good at asking for help. And right now, the excuse would be, and a consideration would be, well, everyone's going through so much. You know, and I would say, you know, there's always time for you. If you have your true relationships and your true friends, reach out. The question today is not how are you or how are you doing? It's how are you really doing? And how can I be there for you? Is there anything I can do now or later, or just listen? What do you need from me? Okay, so there's that piece, and it actually rolls into social media. So, You know, I use my different accounts in my various forms of social media. I'll see a quote. I'll see an event. I'll see a work or scholarship opportunity. So I'm a master poster or reposter or forwarder of information. So I can influence people in their lives by making opportunities available and increasing their access. I realized over the last couple of years with this political roller coaster that we had been on over the last 4 years plus, six for that matter, that I had to look at my family and my friends and say, okay, I because I do this work, I'm constantly getting articles and viewpoints and information that would help inform their decisions, their decision making, or their information. You know, in this age of what was coined fake news, what's real? What's beyond opinion? Here are the facts. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to go from my immediate family and friends to a broader audience or broader strangers who then now become friends. So, and I use different pieces, different type of social media for the personal, for the professional, for the hybrid, both a combination of personal and professional. And, you know, I've had, and I'm building up as we speak, my Instagram and, you know, account, my Twitter account, other accounts that I hadn't been utilizing as much, and making some time out and even coming up with themes as they come to me and putting things out there. So there's a lot to do, but, you know, and also, I would say this to anybody listening and watching or listening, show up, put yourself out there so that allies will find you. And we all need our allies, activist allies.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up, is there any, like, what are the calls to action that you would encourage people to do? I know you stated a few here, and you can repeat them if you want to, you know, just for emphasis. What do we need to do to have our maximum impact? You're our coach, so leave us with things we need to work on in order to make sure that we have maximum impact personally and professionally.
Okay, so I'll loop it all right back to the beginning. In fact, I'm thinking about the initials PAOC, P-A-O-C, mm-hmm. pause, assess, organize, and create. Mm-hmm. Okay. Systems. So I would ask everyone to take the time to do that and ask those questions. Am I doing what fulfills me most? Mm-hmm. Am I doing what I'm best at? Mm-hmm. Identify who you're trying to impact. Mm-hmm. So you can, what I call, frame the universe with all that's out there. What would be that particular area and people or work that you would focus in on? One of the things I have to remind myself of is to stay focused. I just absorb things. I want to know so much. Sometimes I have to pull myself in. I'm not exaggerating, and this is kind of shameful to share. My computer's been very slow, and it turns out that I had 200 tabs from web searches open. Mm-hmm. And I had not closed my computer for 3 weeks, and I had all those tabs open. So I literally I copied and pasted each in the search window there, each tab on a sheet. And then I said, well, out of curiosity, let me number them. It was 200 tabs, about 201. Mm. So you click one thing and then it says, well, for more information, related article, mm-hmm. and suddenly you're all down, you know, what they call a rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. So I would say focus, establish some habits, and your systems, so be accountable. Be accountable to yourself and to others. One of the things I would say too is no one to shut it off. I have a problem with that. I have a family, and I work from home. And so work is every, it could be 24/7. So I need to know when to shut it off. I've not done the best at that. And I trip and fall occasionally or more often than not. But that comes back to the self-care and the caring for those who mean the most to you. If I leave you with anything today, sometimes we neglect those who are most important to us and who we love the most because we assume that they'll be there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what we've seen is that there's no guarantee. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So if there's anyone out there who really takes it to heart, call somebody, email somebody, text someone, and just tell them you were thinking of them and how much you care about them.
Great, great advice and great way to end this segment. Thank you so much, because you know you'll be back. this was some great advice for us, and I can't wait to use many of these recommendations.
Thank you, and thanks for all that you're doing.
So, Alfred, we always end our interviews by asking a strategy for college success. So if you could give one strategy for students, what would you tell them to do? But, before you do that, can you tell us what college or colleges you attended, your major or your majors, and your degrees, please?
Mm-hmm. So I went to Columbia College of Columbia University in New York. I double major in political science and urban studies. I did graduate work at Bernard M. Baruch City University of New York University, Bernard, and it was in public administration. And then courses and along the way, lifelong learning is very important.
Mm-hmm.
A strategy, I think, for attending college, considering college, is first of all, intend to graduate. Be 110% sure that whether or not that's the school that you end up at, that you finish what you started. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, I don't know that I need a degree. You will, because that's a kind of a denominator for when someone's going to look at applying for a job, interviewing you, what's on your resume. That's changing now because of all the options that are out there. But do get the degree because it's more than the degree. It's the relationships. It's the social skills and emotional skills that you develop along the way. The other is don't get discouraged. If you choose a school and it doesn't choose you, another door opens up. When one closes, another door opens up. And think bigger than you are now. Think of the you 10 years from now, not the you now. Don't be tempted to go where all your friends are going just because that's where they're going. What do you want from a school? What majors are you interested in? And know that you may probably change your major, or if you don't, the classes that you take might not be what you want. So don't pick a school just for its majors. Look at it beyond the major for the other courses, the environment, its reputation, the class size, other factors beyond the major. I think that would be the advice I would begin. And also, you know what? You may experience discrimination, prejudice, or bias at your campus. Don't be surprised if you do, because a campus is not Disneyland. It's the real world. It's a micro version of the macro world. I had experienced bias and prejudice from two professors in the first week of college. One professor literally asked me to leave her class because with a name like Ramirez, I should not be in freshman Spanish. She literally said in the beginning of the class, when she read the roll call, why are you here? With that name, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're here for an easy A. And as long as I'm here, you will only get a C. Mm. The other, that was Monday. I'm sorry. I may be going too long, but on Friday, I was told by my English teacher that I didn't write my paper. My English professor accused me of plagiarism. So all I'm saying is that you ask for help and go to someone when things happen, either with other colleagues or peers or instructors or other people, coaches. Go to someone, ask for help, and let them know what has happened.
These are great pieces of advice. When you enter college, you need to focus on finishing. That is your first priority. Think big. Look out of your comfort zone when you choose a college. Work through your challenges. You will experience biases and prejudices and racism and all those challenges, sexism. All of those things exist on the college campus, but you can work through it. And by all means, ask for help when you need it. Thank you so much, Alfred, for being on the Empowerment Zone. You are always welcome here, and you are a wonderful guest.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.